Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. There are things that I love and hold dear to my heart, but they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only lets me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm a human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his hands, but he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm a human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. So remind me, dear Lord. So now that you know Jesus, your future's determined as far as eternity. So we can sing songs like this and really mean it. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Come on, Marilyn. Give her Marilyn a hand, everybody. Come on all the way. Right here. I'm still taller than here than her. It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
Okay.
Fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars is flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
It's a really unusual thing, because you must be a Southern Presbyterian to get this song in that harmony that way.
That's right.
These Presbyterians stick together. We're not done. We're not done.
Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. Fly up, bird.
Oh, yep, it's a good song.
I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. Die, hallelujah, by and by,
I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah. Big finish.
Bye. Belt it out, girl.
I'll fly away.
Beautiful. Good. Careful. Wendy Helper. Thank you, honey. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, in the back of your New Testament. Our world has gone crazy. It's absolutely nuts, right? And if you remember, Jesus told us that this was going to happen and that we shouldn't be surprised. So we have to remember who's running the show and who's going to bring history to its logical completion and conclusion the way he is setting it forth to end this. I don't know when Jesus is going to return. All I know is he is going to return as a ruling king to rule the earth for 1,000 years and then the great judgment. It's pretty interesting and true. So, like Myron always says, if a story scares you, read the last chapter. You say you see no hope. You say you see no reason we should dream that the world would ever change. Saying love is foolish to believe, 'cause there'll always be some crazy with an army or a knife to wake you from your daydream, put the fear back in your life. But if someone wrote a play just to glorify what's stronger than hate, would they not arrange the stage to look as if the hero came too late? He's almost in defeat. It's looking like the evil side will win. So on the edge of every seat, from the moment that the whole thing begins, it is love that mixed the mortar. It's love who stacked these stones. And it's love who made the stage here, though it looks like we're alone. In this scene set in shadows, like the night is here to stay, there is evil set around us, but it's love who wrote the play. And in this darkness, love will show the way. So now the stage is set. Feel your own heart beating in your chest. This life's not over yet. So we get up on our feet and do our best to play against the fear, play against the reasons not to try, playing for the tears burning in the happy Savior's eyes. For it's love that mixed the mortar, and it's love who stacked these stones, and it's love who made the stage here, though it looks like we're alone. In this scene set in shadows, like the night is here to stay, there is evil cast around us, but it's love who wrote the play. And in this darkness, love will show the way. All right. Hebrews 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. And before we read the scriptures, let's pray together. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, how we need your insight and your help. And you have given us this true word to lead us and guide us through this life and to be able to measure ourselves against us, to see where we fail and submit those failures to you and ask for your deliverance. Here we are. And we ask that you would help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters.
Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored above all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" You know, I guess if you've been a Christian for a long time, your biggest concern is how to stay on the road, how to keep it between the lines. And everything around us tries to pull us away from what the Lord wants us to do with our lives and how he wants us to act and respond and all that. So here, the writer of Hebrews tells us some things. He focuses us to help us. If you really want to get life right, focus on what he's talking about here. I mean, you've already come to Jesus. That's a clear thing in this portion of Scripture. He's writing to believers. So after that, the next most important thing that you can do is what he says. And listen, this is pretty interesting. He says, first of all, this: we need to be focusing on loving others. We've only said that 10 billion times in the last 40 years. But that's what he's calling us to do, to focus on loving other people. Notice the first group: keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters, as family. That's within the church, within Christians and their lives. We're told to keep on doing this. And that means the reason he's telling us to keep on is because it's not going to be easy. Because you're going to be tempted through disappointment with other people who are believers and everything else to turn away from them. And we're told to love them. If you're involved in a fellowship of Christians, get ready. You're going to be hurt. You know, a buddy of mine, he says, listen, if you're a new Christian, run. Because these church people will wear you out. But he says you need them so you can't run, you know? I hope as a believer you don't expect Christians to do everything perfectly all the time when it's concerning you. If not, you'll become an eternal victim, and all you'll want to do is talk about how people have hurt you. We're like porcupines. This time of year when it gets really cold, you know, we're like two porcupines trying to huddle to stay warm. Porcupines have to be very careful when they huddle, okay? Because it's damaging. You can get hurt, man. Well, the church is like that too. And we're told to keep on loving each other. That means keep working at this, because what's going to take place a lot of the times are what make you want to pull away and not have anything to do with some people. I say stay there and work the thing out. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come to me, "I can't go back to their church, that church, it hurt me." And I said, "Well, did you tell anybody? Did you talk to anybody about it? What can you do to resolve it?" They didn't want that. They wanted me to agree with them. But we're told to keep on. Just because we've loved people in the past doesn't mean we're going to get it right in the future. So he's keeping us on the track. Keep on. A lot of us aren't very lovable. But we're commanded to love one another. This isn't a suggestion. And people get all up in arms. I got to read you something. You talk to people all over that want nothing to do with a fellowship of Christians. Now listen, you don't have to come to this church. We have brothers and sisters all over this town. They're all meeting all over this town right now. We're all building the kingdom together. Sometimes we're a good fit for some people. Other times we're not. And they need to go to a place that fits what their gifts are and their needs are. And that's great. We're all doing this together, right? This is no competition. But some people just walk away for the craziest reasons. Here is a list of 12 reasons why I don't attend sporting events. Number one, the coach never came to visit me. Moving along. Every time I went, they asked for money. Number three, the people sitting in my row didn't seem very friendly. Number four, the seats were hard. You been in one of those old churches with the straight up pine seats? Woo! The referees made a decision I didn't agree with. I was sitting with hypocrites. They only came there to see what others were wearing and watch for the guy with the concessions. Some games went into overtime, and I got home late. The band played songs, the marching band played songs I'd never heard before, and I didn't like them. The games are scheduled on my only day to sleep in and run errands. Number 10, I don't go to sporting events because my parents took me to too many games when I was growing up. Number 11, since I read a book on sports, I feel that I know more than the coaches anyway. And last, I don't want to take my children because I want them to choose for themselves the sports they like. Interesting, isn't it? Quite a correlation made. We can make complaints about everything, but I want you to know the command of Jesus to you is this. Let me read you John chapter 13. Goes like this. You'll remember the words of Jesus. A new command I give you. That means you. By the way, that word in the Greek means you, okay? You can't make it about anybody else. Jesus says, I'm commanding you, okay? Oh, I'd like to step aside and let that you go by me sometimes, but I can't. A new command I give you. Love one another. And not just love one another, those are my words, but he says, as I have loved you, so you should love one another. Isn't that something? Do you want to make an impact in this world? Do you? Or you just want to live out your years and fade away? Do you really want to make a difference in the lives of the people around you? Then you love them. And if you love them, and if we all love one another, something miraculous happens. Jesus said, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It didn't say how smart you were or how much scripture you had memorized. You see that? People are going to come to Christ depending on our relationships with one another. Do you see that? There's going to be misunderstandings and silly things said. And we've got to deal with it. You've got to get beyond those things because we have been commanded to move beyond these things. First John chapter 3. And this is the command, to believe in the name of Jesus Christ and to love one another as he commanded us. Do you see that? So we strive to love others even in difficult times. And I think of where a whole lot of our problems begin in our relationships are at home, between husbands and wives that have just emotionally left each other and endure each other for the remaining years. We're told, if I could read this section to you, and let me go to 1 Peter and read this to you. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at this about how to mend relationships and have healthy relationships. Let's start at verse. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers and sisters. Be compassionate and humble. And here it comes. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. That's relationships, you guys. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So, do you see where he's talking about? In the very basis, this is a whole section on husbands and wives, by the way, in the first letter that Peter wrote. So, instead of cranking that argument up, don't argue. Instead of curse, bless those people. Bless your husband. Bless your wife. Speak kindness to them. Yeah, so they're humans. They're going to say dumb things. They're going to say some things that hurt your feelings sometimes. But we've got to make a choice to stop that activity and that behavior in our lives. It all starts with the family, with our kids. We just speak to each other, blessing, that they're valuable, that we love them. And the scriptures tell us when it comes to loving each other, we should be doing it more and more. The whole idea is the growth. So who are you struggling with? Who is the one that you carry the grudge against? Who is it? What is it that's unresolved? Now, if it's abusive and illegal, of course, they've got to be dealt with properly through the courts. And, you know, just because if someone hurt you physically, you can't be around that person because they're destructive. We're not talking about that. We're talking about simple relationships within the church and within our businesses and our homes and our neighborhoods. All of that. We are called to pursue love and peace, all of us. The command to me is amazing. And so we're told to love. And then we're also told to love people that necessarily aren't part of our little group here. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers. There's three groups here we speak of. Strangers, those in prison, and those being mistreated. We're to be reaching out to all three. That means, and I love this statement, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. You know, you never know. Someday you're going to get to heaven, and somebody's going to walk up to you and say, remember that guy with the, that lady with the blown out tire on the side of the road? And you helped, and you changed that tire? That was me. It was a test. I sent an angel to test you to see if you'd do it. I mean, it's going to be pretty interesting. We get to heaven and see the whole thing. Strangers, people need us. I read a wonderful article by someone who lives in California, and they said when they retire, they're going to come back to Pontiac, Michigan, because their car broke down, and two good old boys stopped and made the phone calls. One of them had a brother, had a wrecker, came and got the car, took it to the repair place. And while the car was being repaired, these two guys took this man out for dinner and paid for his dinner, dropped him back off to pick up his truck. They did it just to be a blessing. That's a great thing. I think it's beautiful. Strangers, entertain them. We're told to just go after that. That is a beautiful thing. And another one is this. People in prison. Now, of course, we need to be visiting people in a prison ministry. In this setting, it's talking about those who are in debtor's prison. That means people who couldn't pay their bills before bankruptcy rules kicked in. And you'd be put in a prison to work off your time. You go to them and you help them just like you're a prisoner with them. There are people all around us that have spent themselves into oblivion. And they've got so much debt racked up, they don't know what to do. You know what you do? You help them. I'm not talking about necessarily giving them money. I'm talking about teaching them how to handle this stuff. How to make it so that money isn't the focus of your life. It's a wonderful opportunity. And it's all around us. Send your buy everybody Dave Ramsey's book, you know? Next time we have Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University here or somewhere else, take them. Help them. Get them on the road. Those in prison. That's interesting. The last one is this, the mistreated. And that happens all over. We should be out in front of a whole lot of those social issues. We were on civil rights when Dr. King marched against Jim Crow. That was a good cause. It was a righteous cause. In fact, it was Billy Graham, who's turning 99 years old this week. And Dr. Graham was right there wanting to march with Martin Luther. And Martin Luther said, no, brother, you take care of yours. I'll take care of mine. Don't worry about it. You know, I didn't want him. But there was a whole lot of folks from the church that stepped out and stood with those. And that is the right thing. And it's good. So loving others, we're commanded to do it. But there are these things that will kill love that he gives us in this portion in Hebrews. Again, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. And then he just throws this in. Marriage should be honored above all. That's why we stand for marriage, because it needs to be honored. And marriage between a man and a woman. And the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I shall not be afraid. What can men do to me? There are some things that kill it. You want to know what kills love? Lust. Guys, every one of you are affected by this. Men are wired a certain way, and advertising knows how to undo that. They know how to use that to sell their products. We have pornography shoved in our faces every day. And now, in the digital age, you can hide and just turn on your computer and watch some stuff and then push erase the last half hour. Do you know what Job said? In the midst of Job being judged by his friends, like they were judging him of being an adulterer, and he said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look upon a maid? You know, I remember people saying, well, it's okay if he looks as long as he doesn't touch. You got to understand something. Looking is in some ways touching. Jesus said, if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery already in his heart. I think we have some repenting to do about this, because lust will destroy love. It destroys it. And that's why it says the marriage bed needs to be kept pure and that God will deal with adulterers. I mean, pretty big warning. You want to ruin love? Then look for everywhere else to be fulfilled and loved except at home. You're going to destroy a lot of people's lives. Let me just tell you how it ends. It ends terribly and embarrassingly. Stop it. Get control of yourself. We're told to live in such a way that we control ourselves. In fact, let me read this to you. 1 Thessalonians, listen to this command. Listen. Now it is God's will that you should be sanctified. That means set apart to him. Okay, that you're his in this world. And that you should avoid sexual immorality. Each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen, who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or sister and take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. It is so important. And you'll kill love. You'll just become an emotional zombie because of that. So lust does it. The other one is the love of money messes it all up too. It says in verse 5 and back in Hebrews chapter 13, keep your lives from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Listen, money, debt, like we've just talked about, is so devastating, and we need to get in control of those things. The people that I know that have a lot of money, they don't focus on it, which is interesting. But those of us who are struggling, we focus on it all the time. And by the way, I want you to remember, the Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. That's how it's always quoted. It's the love of money. I'm going to take care of my money, man. Oh, I'm going to hide it away. You know, Scrooge, right? That old kind of thing. We've got to shake ourselves loose from that, which means we need to spend less. We need to simplify our lives. We need to pay off our debts and not be controlled by the dollars that come and go from our home. Very important. So, and the last is this. So the love of money, lust, and then one other thing. Fear of people. So we say with confidence, he said, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Listen, it is wonderful to make sure you respect the right person. And that is the Lord, not necessarily the people around you. In fact, Jesus said our treatment of everybody else should look like hatred. But our love for him should be so supreme. You know, Abraham had a problem with this. He was afraid of people. And when he and his beautiful wife, Sarah, would go places, they would come within a new kingdom, and she was so beautiful, he would say, look, tell them you're my sister. Because if I tell them you're my wife, they'll kill me so they can have you. When my dad ran a meat department in Kroger in Birmingham all those years ago, he had a bookie that came to see him all the time to bet the horses. That's just, it's just what happened. It's like a cartoon we lived in those days. And Walt, his name was Big Walt, and he stammered. He would start every sentence with eh. And also, and then he could talk after he did the and also thing. So one day he was around and my mother was there doing something and kissed my dad and left. And so he says to my dad's co-worker, and also is that Hampton's wife? And the guy said, yep, Marjorie, that's his wife. And he goes, and also, she sure is a looker. That's what he said. Those were crazy days. Abraham was afraid of the people in his culture. He has his wife lie, tell him you're my sister. So the king, Abimelech, says to him, when they find out that they're actually husband and wife, why did you do this to me? I could have taken her to be my wife and I'd have brought this judgment on me from the Lord. And Abraham answered this. Abraham replied, I said to myself, surely there's no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Did you hear that? There's no fear of God in this place. I'm telling you something. It doesn't matter if no one else has the fear of God around you. The Lord has you, and he's the all-powerful one, not them. And it's time to step out of that fear of being afraid of men and love anyhow. Don't let the fear of men control you in that way. It's so very important. Do you remember the disciples after Jesus' resurrection? You know, Peter, he was scared to death, right? At the crucifixion, he denies Jesus. And then a few days later, he's standing up in Jerusalem before the great Sanhedrin saying, and this Jesus you crucified, but God has raised him from the dead. And they said, you can't say this anymore. And he and John said, you choose. Is it better to obey God or men? Man, what happened to those guys? I loved it. They could love properly because of their devotion to God, just like we need to. We got to keep working on this. It's never going to be perfect. And like I said, I'm so glad you're here. And don't be surprised if somebody says something foolish to you. I was talking to a buddy of mine just recently, and there was a lady that attended here. She was talking to my buddy, and she said, don't talk to her over there. She smokes. Don't. She smokes. Don't talk to her. Well, we showed her the door, not the smoker, the gossiper. And we just don't put up with that. Okay? We love. We're told to work at it in all those areas, but also to keep our lives free of lust, the love of money, and the fear of others. May God help us. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on up. Lord, it's such a dark fall day, such a strange, it feels like twilight here instead of the middle of the day. Father, our souls might feel like that too. We could be confused because confusion pours into our lives when we get involved in things we shouldn't be. And one of the great things that we get involved in is bitterness that cements our heart over. And Lord, we need you to break through that, to ask you to forgive us for not forgiving like you forgave us. Help us, Lord. Is there somebody that you've wronged that you need to make it right? Is there somebody you're carrying a grudge against that you need to let go? Lord, we give these things to you. Help us not lay our head on the pillow tonight and not have this stuff taken care of. Help us. Thank you for our time together here today in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.